after the slideshow, they say. Seemed easy. Seemed easy. In the spring of 2005, my grandma Woody passed away, and I remember having the opportunity to share thoughts at her funeral. And I remember that I got through it, but I remember that it was emotional, it was difficult. I'm not sure how much of it was coherent or not. But I do remember how difficult it was, and I remember speaking with my dad after that funeral, and I asked him, how do you do it? Presiding over as many funerals as he did, and being in dark moments with those that he cared about and loved, I wanted to know how Dad got through it. Dad said that he did his job. When the family asked him to speak at the funeral of that loved one that passed away, he was given a job. The job was not to be a blubbery mess. The job was to honor the deceased, to honor the loved ones. And I appreciate that he asked in his final months that I do a job and share some thoughts concerning Dad. The following is an excerpt from a book by Watchman Nee entitled The Release of the Spirit. While going through Dad's library over the last few days, I came across this book and this passage and thought it a fitting way to begin my thoughts this afternoon. As I read this short passage, I ask that you think about Dad and what impression that he left with you. All of us in here today were impacted by Dad in one way or another. And although the impressions might vary in details and in depth, I venture to say that Dad left all of us with a good impression. Whether we can do the Lord's work depends not so much on our words or our actions, but rather on what comes forth from us. We are not able to edify others if we say one thing and emit from our lives another thing, if we act one way and live another way. What emanates from us is an important consideration. We often say that our impression of a certain person is either good or bad. How do we receive such an impression? It is not just from his words, nor even from his actions. A mysterious something expresses itself while he is speaking or acting. It is this which gives us the impression. What others sense in us is our most outstanding feature. Whatever our strongest characteristic is, it invariably will stand out and impress others. We may be able to control our speech or our action, but we are unable to restrain that which expresses our nature. What we are, we cannot but reveal. 2 Kings chapter 4 recounts how the Shunammite received Elisha. And it came to pass on the day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a wealthy woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Note that Elisha preached no sermon nor worked no miracle. He merely dropped in and ate whenever was passing that way. By the way that he ate, the woman recognized him as a holy man of God. This was the impression Elisha gave to others. And we should ask ourselves, what impression do we give to others? Dad left this world, his family, his friends, and all those that he came in contact with, a good impression. Dad was really good at leaving a lasting impression because his spirit spoke louder than his words or his actions. The manner in which he spoke was louder than the words coming out of his mouth. The spirit of his actions carried more weight than his deeds did that he did so well. It was more than his signature hugs and high fives. It was the enduring energy and the honesty behind them. It was more than his exhortations and encouragement. It was the sincerity and lifelong consistency. The Holy Spirit filled his heart and his soul. The Holy Spirit was the source of his ability to make a good impression, the wellspring within his soul. When asked to describe Dad, it isn't that words fail us. It's that the abundance of adjectives aren't nearly enough. Faithful, loving, meek, steadfast, diligent, hopeful, patient, kind, strong, knowledgeable, thankful, mature. But that's not all. Funny, creative, athletic, artistic, musical, meticulous, articulate, eloquent, competitive, likable, encouraging, tasteful, resourceful, and the list goes on. Most importantly, though, dad was a God-fearing man and obedient unto death. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We're all here today to remember Dad. All of us in this room this afternoon are filled with memory after memory after memory of conversations shared, meals enjoyed, trips taken, meetings attended, weddings performed, and friendships fostered by the fondest faith. Over the past several years, as Dad's physical health steadily declined, and the end began to draw near, many friends, brethren, and family members began to share their memories of Dad. Memories shared with love. Memories shared with encouragement. Memories shared with prayer and support. Words of comfort and guidance. For all those precious memories, our family, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share that with us. We'll all remember Dad in a variety of ways, but with one common thread that I believe my dad would certainly be pleased with. Back around Thanksgiving, I had the time to have a conversation with him regarding how people are remembered after they pass away. During the course of this conversation, I had the opportunity to ask him, how would you like to be remembered? And very calculated and carefully, as Dad so often did, he answered that he hopes that people will remember that I tried to help them get to heaven. And you can all hear Dad saying that. I hope that I help people try to get to heaven. Dad didn't want people to elevate him above what he was. He was a man, he was flawed, just like the rest of us. He consistently pointed the focus and credit to where it belongs, our Father God, preaching the gospel message, evangelizing across the country and overseas, spreading the love of Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross and what that means for our lives here on earth. That's how Dad wanted people to remember Him. That was what was important to Him. Dad always had the right things to say at the right time and in the right amount of words. He knew how to use brevity as a tool. He knew how to use silence even better. Both effective, both productive, and exactly what was necessary for encouragement, teaching, or discipline. Dad believed in the think model of speaking, always weighing his thoughts against the following five principles before he opened his mouth. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Dad always thought before he spoke. 1 Timothy 4:12, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. My family and I are thankful and blessed beyond measure for the example that Dad set for us and the memories that he will leave behind. It goes without saying that we love Dad very much, for more reasons than we can list, but we love Dad because of the example of love that he showed to us. He loved his wife and his kids. He loved his parents and his siblings. He adored his grandchildren. He loved his church family, his brothers and sisters in Christ. And most importantly, he loved God. He loved Jesus. He loved the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he spent a lot of his time on earth loving what was going to come next for him. Dad loved heaven, talked about it often, thought about it even more, and spent his 40 years doing the Lord's work spreading that hopeful yearning to all those who would listen, to all those that he came in contact with. We suffer today because our dad is gone. We mourn because of the man he was to us while he was here. But we rejoice because Dad is finally, truly, home. He's praising God in heaven with the angels and the saints who have gone on before him. We rejoice because Dad is no longer trapped inside of his earthly body, that physical tent. Dad is now in a place where there is no pain, there's no suffering, There's no tears. There's no death. Today we shed tears of joy for our dead. Dad spent a lot of his time as an evangelist, leaving home. Most weekends, several weeks out of the year, scattered periods of time in between, Dad would say goodbye to his wife and kids and he would leave. He'd be gone for days or weeks at a time. He could always come home. Sometimes while he was gone, we would have to ask Mom where he went. We would forget. We wouldn't know. He planned a spontaneous trip. Someone called and he had to leave last minute. We didn't know where Dad was. We never wondered about what Dad was doing. Sometimes we weren't familiar about who exactly he was spending his time with. We didn't know of what houses he might be staying at, who he was sharing his meals with, where he was laying his head at night, or what congregations or churches or members that he was working with. Well, Dad left again on Tuesday morning. Said goodbye to his wife, his kids, and we got to say bye to him. But this time we know. There's no questions. We know where Dad is. We know who he'll be spending time with. We know the place in which he will lay his head, and the place that knows no time and knows no sleep. We know the company he will be surrounded by, and that is good company in the best house. When I had my latest birthday, I had a conversation with my dad concerning birthdays. I always appreciated my dad's unique viewpoint on certain things that we deem important, traditions and things that we carry on in this country that sometimes we never test. So I asked him what he thought about birthdays, how he viewed them, what he remembered about turning specific ages, if he had a favorite birthday. Not a particular deep or heavy conversation by any means. But as Lewis alluded to earlier, Dad had a way of turning conversations from the physical into the spiritual. Dad told me that birthdays, he viewed his birthdays as simply a track. Oh, excuse me. Dad said he viewed his birthdays like laps around a track. And the only race that mattered to him. Dad was just running a race. And each time he had a birthday, that was one more lap. He had finished that lap, and now was on to the next one, where he would have to run stronger, test his endurance, not look behind him. Dad viewed his birthdays as one step closer to the finish line and claiming his prize. Dad was the best runner that I know, and his example of endurance, faithfulness, and strength was inspiring. It is comforting to know that Dad is done running here on earth. It is comforting to know that he has finished his race. It is comforting to know that we get to hold on to memories and his examples. And what he gets to hold on to is salvation and eternal life in heaven. We'll close with two scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.